Dear Heavenly Father, Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Lord, we pray that prayer today. Please help us from your word to learn more of what you are like and how we can relate properly to you. Please help us to seek the right things in the right way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deep within me, and also I suspect deep within a lot of us, is the need to balance our books. The need to ensure that what is given from me lines up with what is received by me, to get our money's worth out of something. Sometimes for me, this is actually quite helpful. And so when I buy exercise clothes, for example, that actually motivates me to exercise, because otherwise it's a waste of the money that I have spent on those clothes. But other times, the need to balance the books is extraordinarily petty. I envy those of you who can exercise self-control at the buffet. I cannot. I eat much more than what is healthy because I want that value. Or when I look at the FEHELP debt for my master's degree, thousands of dollars I'm currently studying right now, and I kind of think to myself, I fully intend to make up for this through my overconsumption of free Nescafe Blend 43. Right? I did the calculations. It works out to be about 20 coffees a day to pay for my degree. As much as we might keep on saying life isn't fair and it is what it is and you still have to deal with it, I think all of us actually want our books to be balanced. And this is true for money, I think, but it's also true for morality, isn't it? We want the good to be rewarded and the evil to be punished. We know how unfair it is when our world honours and worships people who just look good rather than people who are good. We know how many selfless and sacrificial people keep on doing the right thing and go completely unnoticed by the world. We want those books balanced as well. And what we see today from Matthew chapter 6 is that God is that balancer of books. God sees what is done in secret and he rewards what is done in secret. He operates on an economy of grace. And this is solid motivation for Christian sacrifice and service. This is what we see in Matthew chapter 6. Now, in Matthew 6, we are in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is on a mountain and he is teaching crowds of ordinary Jewish people. In Matthew chapter 6, he teaches a particular kind of economics. And I want you to look at verses 1 to 4 to see what Jesus has to say. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And then verses 5 to 6, a similar thing about praying. He says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And then verses 16 to 18 on fasting, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Jesus is saying that there are two types of people in this passage. On the one hand, you've got the people whom Jesus calls the hypocrites. They do good things, but they do it for show. They do it so that other people will notice them and like them. They do it for the social media following, for the likes and upvotes and shares and subscribes. And Jesus says three times for these people, they have received their reward. They looked for earthly reward. They got their earthly reward. It's paid in full. God will give them nothing more for it. Now, this is an extraordinary thing that Jesus actually says here. You know, these things that Jesus is talking about, these things that are being done, they're actually really good things, right? You know, giving to the needy. Well, why would you ever criticize someone who gave to the needy? Prayer and fasting, that was what the most godly people of the time did. You know, it would be reasonable for a Jew in Jesus' time to feel entitled to a reward for these things. But Jesus says, there is no reward if you just did it for the earthly reward. Which leads us to the second type of person in this passage. And these are the types of people who do their good in secret, privately. They don't seek reward from people. They don't seek reward from this earth. And Jesus says to them, your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And Jesus is basically saying to them, look, no one else saw what you did. No one else might thank you for what you did. But God saw it because he sees everything and he will reward you for it. And I want you to notice that when Jesus says these words, these two types of people, these two different ways of living, they are mutually exclusive here. You can want people to like you, or you can want God to like you. You can have reward now on earth, or you can have reward later in heaven. But you cannot have both. Because God is a balancer of books. On that final day, when Jesus returns and heavenly rewards are allocated, God will give reward to those who got less than they deserved in this life. But people who've already been rewarded for what they did, they will get nothing more from God. And these economics aren't just in Matthew chapter 6, but in the rest of the New Testament as well. In Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, Jesus tells a rich person at a party. He also said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. There will be a balancing of the books at the end. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul is talking about how he lets nothing get in the way of speaking the gospel, he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. See, Christians seek heavenly treasure. They do not seek earthly treasure. Because as we know, earthly treasure fades away. Moth and rust destroy it. Thieves break in and steal it. In God's grand scheme of eternity, all the money in the world is here today, gone tomorrow. And it's not just money that doesn't last as well, but even people's respect and honor and thanks as well. You know, we do all these things so that people will like us and accept us. But John Chrysostom, who was an early Christian, one of the early church fathers, he wrote, if you knew how quickly people will forget you after your death, you would not seek to please anyone but God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 7, all flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. See, God in the Bible calls Christians to seek heavenly treasure. He calls them to do good, not just when people can see it, but also when they can't see it. He calls them to do good even when they are not rewarded for it. to live their lives, as Oz Guinness writes, to live your life for an audience of one. And he says that there are everlasting rewards for doing so. That is the economics of Matthew chapter 6. And I think this is something that our world has not properly understood about good and virtuous behavior. Our internet age has given people the technology to be able to share their lives in order to be praised by others, pretty much. And it's no surprise then that people use that technology, that people do that. It's become normal for us to show off our achievements or the achievements of our children. We air our opinions, political or religious, and expect other people to chorus their agreement. It's become normal for us, in other words, to seek the praise of people, to not want that audience of one, but the audience of many. And Christians think that they can do that and just casually stick on lines like, "Praise God" at the end, or "I'm so humbled," as if that makes it holy. It's kind of silly, isn't it? And the rewards that we get from all this, you know, people giving us a like, people sending a click our way, they're even more temporary than any other earthly reward that we could get. No one will remember what you posted. In our world, virtue has become a public thing. But virtue should have stayed private. People use words like virtue signaling. I think Jesus would say, if your virtue needs to be signaled, it is not virtue at all. God got it right thousands of years before today. True virtue is private. It is humble. It does not advertise itself. It is quiet and unassuming. It is not loud, brash, or arrogant. And it works from the inside out, not the outside in. And it is seen by God, who balances these books at the end. And I think knowing all this affects the way that Christians serve. Whether it's the service that you do at church or the service in your family or to a stranger on the street, there are things that I think you can say to yourself, knowing that God will balance the books in this way. First thing I think you can say to yourself is that I am never, ever unappreciated. No doubt that there are many things that we will do that will go unnoticed by people. We might get a bit bitter at that, but there is no need to. Because when no one else in the world appreciates what you did, God appreciates you all the more. God is the one who sees what is done in secret. He sees the hidden things and he rewards them. And so every time you do something that is below your pay grade, or every time you do something that is above your pay grade, God is watching. You are never, ever unappreciated. Second thing you can say to yourself is, I can never, ever be cheated. I think for our church, and I think for Asian culture in general, there is this deep fear that we have of being ripped off. We hate being taken advantage of. And I think in a Christian sense, this is true as well. You know, we don't like it when people say that they're interested in reading the Bible with us or interested in coming to church. And then we find out that they're only doing it because they want a reference from us, like for a job or a visa or a school. We don't like it when people ask for our help and we give it and then they leave and we never hear from them again. Those past experiences can stick with us. And they might cause us to hold back our love and our care and our service from people because we don't want to be hurt again. But if God is the God who sees our hearts, if God sees what is done in secret, and if he is the God who balances the books when it comes to heavenly and earthly reward, if he's the God who repays people at the resurrection of the just, then any help we give is win-win. Because even if there's no earthly reward, there is heavenly reward. We can never, ever be cheated. And the third thing we can say to ourselves is, I will never spoil my heavenly reward. because there are ways to spoil it. We saw from Matthew chapter 6 that less treasure on earth means more treasure in heaven. The opposite is true as well. If we seek more treasure on earth, that means less treasure in heaven. I think we can do this by demanding from others that they reward us. You know, whether with kind of finances or whether with recognition or thanksgiving or pity. Can't you see all I have done for you? I just want some appreciation here. Now, no doubt, you know, if you do something that is good for people, people should give you thanks. They should appreciate you if you serve them. But demanding that they do, it kind of just wrecks everything, doesn't it? Do not steal from your own heavenly treasury by demanding reward in this world. Never spoil your heavenly reward. And finally, we can say to ourselves, I will never ask what is in it for me. You know, that kind of mercenary approach that will only do something if it benefits you. You know, the easy Christian answer to the question, what's in it for me, is always glory to God and treasures in heaven. Is that not enough? Never ask what's in it for me. God's economics are different from ours. We can only account for what is seen. We can only account for external things because that's all we have access to, right? That's all we can observe. God has more data to draw from. God's accounting is the accounting of hidden things, internal things, heart things. And God is the God who balances those two books at the end. When Jesus returns, which system do you want to work in? In which system do you want to make your profits? Your answer to that question will shape where and how you serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God who sees what is done in secret. You are the balancer of books. You are the God who apportions heavenly rewards. And Heavenly Father, we pray that we may be people like your Son Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Please help us to follow that example of seeking heavenly treasure, heavenly reward, to live for you, to be genuinely good, not just good for the sake of the opinion of others, not just so we may be liked, but good from the inside out, doing what is right and good, even when people do not see us, even in those hidden places, in our own bedrooms, in our own families. Lord, we pray that we may be people who seek to accumulate heavenly treasure. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.